let's turn to international news. And we know that at least 35,000 children are estimated to have been forcibly taken from Ukraine to Russia, where they are indoctrinated, militarily trained, or put up for adoption. That's according to the Humanitarian Research Lab at the Yale School of Public Health, which has been investigating reports of abduction since 2022. Nathaniel Raymond is the Humanitarian Research Lab's Executive Director. Nathaniel, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
You've been investigating this since the start of the war. What initially tipped you off to what's happening here?
Well, what initially tipped us off were selfies. Local officials, mayors, and municipal officials inside Russia were taking pictures of themselves on social media with children who had been forcibly deported from Ukraine. And it was in those selfies that we began to be able to break the case.
You believe that at least 35,000 children have been forcibly abducted, some as young as 8 months. Where are they being taken? What's happening to them when they're abducted?
Well, that's the critical question. In September of this year, we released a report where the Humanitarian Research Lab at Yale, we were able to identify to high confidence 210 facilities, including re-education camps where the children are being held. And just to give people a sense of how big this system is, it stretches across 3,500 miles from the Black Sea all the way to the Eastern Pacific. And at those camps, they're receiving military training. In some cases, we have examples of them constructing drones or fast reloader clips for assault weapons. And they're also being subjected to what's called patriotic re-education to basically erase their Ukrainian identity.
And that means some of them are being put up for adoption and fostering in Russia with Russian families. Is that right?
That's correct. In December of last year, we presented to the UN Security Council unequivocal, overwhelming evidence that there are forced adoptions of these children. We've identified at least 314 that have been coercively fostered or adopted. And they're doing it in plain sight, putting them on websites and in national adoption databases, listing them as if they were Russian orphans.
Has there been any success in getting children returned to their families in Ukraine?
Every kid that comes back is a victory. But to be honest, we're only looking at 1,600 out of the 35,000 we've estimated have returned. And so the critical moment now that we're in is the so-called peace negotiations between Ukraine and Russia, brokered by the United States. And it's really important that before any negotiated settlement to this war, the kids come back on without condition as required by our national law.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where Nathaniel Raymond, Executive Director of the Humanitarian Research Lab at the Yale School of Public Health, is our guest. We're talking about the efforts to track down tens of thousands of Ukrainian children abducted by Russia during the war. Nathaniel, how common is this in conflicts, in wars? Do we have a comparison to situations in the past where we can look to potential resolutions to this issue?
Well, that's a really important question. I've been a war crimes investigator specializing in missing persons for 26 years. The only case that I've worked similar to this was related to Guatemala. In the 1980s, children from Guatemala were illegally taken and deceptively put in the U.S. adoption system to bring some of those kids back to their parents as adults, took DNA identification in decades. In terms of this specific case with Ukraine and Russia, the only example close to this scale would be the Nazis during World War II and what was called the Germanification of Polish children, which was the basis of the 8th Nuremberg decision at the Nuremberg trials called the Rusia decision, which made the forcible transfer of children from one national and ethnic group to another, a crime against humanity. And that's what this is.
It's fairly extraordinary when you put it in that context. I understand the U.S. State Department has cut the funding to your work in Ukraine. What impact is that having on your operations?
So we were terminated in February, but then reinstated until June to transfer evidence to Europol and the Ukrainian government. And then we were terminated again. This past week, I testified to the United States Senate Appropriations Committee, where a bipartisan consensus of senators committed, led by Lindsey Graham, to get our funding reinstated. But at this point, we've been surviving on individual donations, mostly online from angry American grandmothers, basically since the summer. And we run out of money around Christmas to the start of January. So we're almost all out of gas and now all out of road with no sign that we're going to be funded by anybody.
That's an extraordinary position to be in, given the work you're doing is so crucial. When it comes to matters of the Trump administration, can I just ask your opinion on the recently released national security strategy? You know, it's a fairly big document, has a crucial setting of foreign policy for the US, and it doesn't cast Russia as a threat to the US. What do you make of it?
Well, I'm a war crimes investigator, not a political scientist, but I can tell you quite simply that we know who Russia is. We know who Vladimir Putin is. He's under an arrest warrant and indictment by the International Criminal Court for literally kidnapping. And so the fact of the matter is that this national security strategy really runs in the face of both who we claim to be as a nation, as the United States, and also runs in the face of the evidence. Evidence that was collected by the United States government and provided to the ICC to indict Putin for war crimes and crimes against humanity, because that's what he does.
Nathaniel Raymond, thank you very much for talking to me on Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.
Nathaniel Raymond is the Executive Director of the Humanitarian Research Lab at the Yale School of Public Health.